Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Rita Dunaway, along with my co-host Dean Welty, and we're so glad that you joined us for today's program. We are taking on a big topic today, and one that couldn't be more timely as we have a brand new President Trump beginning his administration. For the past several weeks, Dean, it has seemed as if one can't turn her head without seeing someone offering words of advice to President Trump, or expressing hopes or even fears about what his administration will hold for America.
And we're going to do that too. Is that what we're saying?
Okay. Yes, that's why we're here this week.
All right, great.
Earlier in the week, I joined in the chorus myself and wrote an article spelling out my own greatest hope for the Trump administration. And, you know, it doesn't have to do with any specific policy or action, but rather has to do with the thought process I hope he will engage in before he makes every decision he is called upon to make. My hope is that President Trump will begin policymaking at the right end by first considering the proper purpose of government and only then considering the merits of specific policies. And Dean, we have discussed this many times on this program, as I believe we should continue to do, but our founding fathers' clearest expression of the purpose of government is found in the Declaration of Independence. There they acknowledge that all men are endowed by the Creator with unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then they stated that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Not to be our provider, not to take care of us and manage our affairs, not to regulate and mandate us into submission, but to secure our basic rights. My hope is that President Trump will begin to shepherd our government back into that limited, proper role, which is the biblical view of the purpose of government. But for today's program, Dean, let's talk about some of the Trump administration's goals, some of the actions of past administrations, and how those all fit in with the role of government in America.
Well, Rita, it is a big job, and it's an important job. And I do want to congratulate you on your new assignment as a weekly contributor to WorldNet Daily. Now, people can access your weekly columns on their website. Am I correct? WND.com.
Yes.
WND.com. And there she is, right below the director himself.
Every Tuesday, I'm on the hook. So
yes.
Every Tuesday, you'll be able to read my weekly column there.
Yes.
Thank you, Dean. I'm really excited about that opportunity.
Well, just for our listeners, I just want to reinforce Rita's qualifications for our program today and for her new assignment. Many of you may know this already, but I just want to repeat it. She's not whistling in the wind here and not just emoting her deepest feelings, but it comes from a rich background. She is an attorney. She's a constitutional expert with a focus on life, on liberty, and on constitutional government. Therefore, she is qualified to speak to these issues. She has an undergraduate degree in journalism. She is a graduate of Washington and Lee School of Law. She's a national legislative director for the Convention of States Project. She has been a staff counsel at the Rutherford Institute. She continues to be an allied attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm getting out of breath, but there's one more thing. She is the deputy director of the Valley Family Forum and the co-host of Crossroads. And Rita, again, we're just so pleased to have you with us.
I just have to say, in that great lineup that made me sound so good, you missed my two most important jobs.
A mama and a wife.
That's right.
And a child of God.
That's right.
There we go.
Thank you, Dean.
You're welcome. You can stop blushing now. Okay, Rita, back to your opening remarks. You mentioned the Declaration of Independence. We all know that our founding fathers had a deep concern about giving too much power to the federal government at the expense of the states. And that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But they tried to fix that with the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which places very clear limits on the federal government. Mm-hmm. That hasn't worked out very well. Mm-hmm. So did the Constitution not go far enough? And also, did it leave itself open to abuse when it itself referred to, quote, promoting the general welfare, close quote, as a legitimate goal of our federal government? So, Rita?
Yeah.
One starting question. Do we have a problem with the Constitution, or is it our failure to follow it as it was intended? Either way, Rita, how can we fix it?
Yeah, well, two comments to that. First, with regard to the 10th Amendment, which very clearly and explicitly reserves the powers not specifically delegated to the national government to the states and the people. The issue with that is the 10th Amendment, as we know, is not self-enforcing. And I think the problem that we've seen over decades with federal growth to an out-of-control level and, you know, just federal overreach that seems to get worse and worse every year, I think the biggest reason for that is that the checks and balances have broken down. And the biggest one that has broken down, Dean, and you know what I'm about to say, the states have not used their ultimate power under Article 5 of the Constitution to definitively reject abuses of federal power and then specifically restrain the federal government from overreach by proposing amendments that will correct the perversions of constitutional language that we see happening.
Well, Rita, you mentioned the checks and balances and the separation of powers, and I think another problem is that the legislature has not stood up to the executive branch when it has overreached.
Yes.
And also the Supreme Court has overreached its authority.
Absolutely.
And it has no checks.
It is the worst offender,
yes.
I would say.
So even though the design of the Constitution was beautiful, it was a miracle in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Nevertheless, we have abused the very constraints that you have described.
What we've seen at the federal level is that instead of checking and balancing each other the way they were designed to do, often the three federal branches are in collusion to expand federal power as a whole at the expense of the states. That is exactly why I have committed so much of my time and energy to the Convention of States Project, because that, the Article 5 convention mechanism, is the enforcement mechanism for the 10th Amendment. But Dean, that's all a bunch of theory.
I just want to add to that, though. That we can't expect Washington to fix itself, because as one of our legislators in the Virginia General Assembly has so aptly stated, there ain't no such thing as a self-butcher and hog.
Delegate Scott Lingenfelter.
That's right.
I love it.
Go, Scott.
Yeah. Well, let's get specific about the problem. Dean, can you give us some examples? I'm almost afraid to ask, of how the Obama administration has abused its authority over the past 8 years.
Well, Rita, it's good to say this as background before we get into the Trump 100 days, because there is a sharp contrast in what has happened and what we hope to happen.
Yes, what has been promised to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give just a couple of abuses, more than a couple actually, in which President Obama either failed to enforce the law or he issued orders that went beyond the law and beyond his authority. Mm-hmm. So, Rita, I'm going to just mention them. You just say, that was a problem, or no, it was all right.
Okay.
Let's start with number one, and this was very early in his administration. He refused to enforce a 1996 welfare reform law that included work requirements for recipients of the program that's known as Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, TANF. He refused to enforce that, and he said, just forget it. Even though it's a law, you don't have to meet that requirement.
You know, I just have to comment briefly on the policy issue behind that. I don't remember that very well. I can't imagine what his rationale would have been for doing that, because as we know, Dean, work lifts people up. There is dignity in honest work.
Absolutely.
To provide for your needs and the needs
Absolutely.
Of your family. I don't understand that.
Okay. Now, was it a violation of the Constitution was an abuse of authority.
A failure to enforce the law. Absolutely.
Exactly.
That's his job.
That was passed under the Clinton administration as a welfare reform law, and it cut the welfare rolls significantly as people got off the rolls and got to work. Number one, but that sent a terrible precedent. He got away with it.
Yes.
And he's been riding that horse ever since. A second one, it's about marriage, and we've talked about this a number of times. His administration argued against the Defense of Marriage Act that was also passed in 1996. And he went even further. He argued to legalize same-sex marriages, and that ultimately led to the Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage. Constitutional overreach, what was it?
Failure to enforce
yes.
the law. It's actively working against the law of the land.
Does it remind you of our Virginia Attorney General who did the same thing at
does.
The Virginia level? They saw President Obama get away with it, and they took advantage of it, and they're doing the same thing. Okay.
Leading the charge to subvert the law.
That's even if it's in our Constitution in our case. All right, here's another one that I know is dear to your heart. On religious liberty, President Obama supported and his administration even led the prosecution of pro-life, pro-marriage businesses and individuals who refused to support the government's pro-abortion and pro-LGBT agenda. He prosecuted them for their faith beliefs.
Yeah, that just turns both the spirit and the letter of our Constitution on its head.
Well, particularly the First Amendment of the Constitution,
yes.
the right to free exercise of our religion. Number four, you well remember that the IRS illegally targeted conservative groups like the Tea Party for heightened surveillance.
Hmm. Crazy. What about equal protection?
Well, if you're a conservative, you ain't equal.
Yeah.
All right. Number five, on immigration. This is a big one, and we're going to get into that with the Trump 100 days. But President Obama implemented provisions of the so-called DREAM Act without congressional approval, and he refused to enforce U.S. law regarding the deportation of illegal residents. And I'm referring particularly to delayed action for childhood arrivals and delayed action on parents of Americans.
And, you know, he did all this claiming that it was just his prerogative as use of what we call prosecutorial
yes.
discretion.
Yes.
Well, I say not, because what it did was to effectively change our law on immigration. That was the effect of it. He was very open about the fact that the reason he was doing it is because Congress refused to change the law in the way he wanted. So I would say that is a serious abuse of power.
Well, that is dear to my heart, because I was consul general in Jamaica, and we enforce the law. You don't go to the United States unless you have a proven reason to return to your country. And so what they have done is violated the law, and they've gotten away with it. That is a huge setback for the rule of law in America. All right, number six, he ordered the resettlement of thousands of refugees in various states without notifying them or obtaining their consent. How's that for 10th Amendment?
Yeah, not very good.
What happened to states' rights?
Yeah, I can't imagine why he thought that was a good idea.
He made illegal recess appointments. This is the seventh one, such as to the National Relations Board, without Senate approval, and that was later overturned by federal courts.
Abuse of power.
And unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered, this is one that got everybody upset. His administration, the Department of Justice and the Department of Education, ordered public schools to allow self-identified transgender boys into girls' restrooms without congressional approval.
Well, we could do a whole program just about this one. In fact, I think maybe we have done a whole program about that, and we could do a few more.
But incredible.
First of all, you read the Constitution and wonder where in the Constitution is found the power for the Department of Education to begin with. Where does the Constitution give the president any power or give him anything at all to do with our local public schools? And this is just one of the most incredible, outrageous acts of executive overreach I can imagine.
And for enforcement, they threaten the loss of federal funds. That's how they would choose to enforce it. All right, number nine, Obamacare. He ordered compliance with the contraception and abortifacient provisions of that violated individuals' freedom of conscience. Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yes.
That's one example. All right, and finally, number 10, he delayed implementation of legally required provisions of Obamacare without congressional approval, such as the individual mandate and enrollment deadlines. It's in the law. He said it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Why do we even need a Congress if we have the president to tell us how the law is going to work?
Well, Rita, that's our history. That's the 8 years that we have just endured. So let's look ahead. Let's see if there's any hope. President Trump has unveiled a very active agenda for his first 100 days. So how does his plan conform to this proper role of government that you've described? Give us some examples.
Yeah, I'm going to tick off some specifics of Trump's plan, and I'd like to invite you, Dean, to comment on each one, whether or not it conforms to this great purpose that we've identified for government in America.
Well, again, Rita, I think we need to note for our listeners, it's not whether we agree with the proposal or not.
Right.
It's whether or not it conforms to the purpose of government as defined in the Constitution.
That's right, yes, because that should be the first step in analyzing any government policy. It should only be then asked and answered whether the policy itself is a good one or bad one. Okay, so let's get started. First of all, this has been probably the biggest one in the news, and it's the whole issue of repealing and replacing Obamacare with health savings accounts, more state control of Medicaid, and other reforms. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like it fits the purpose. And there's another one. Eliminate the individual mandate, which he said he's going to do.
Yes.
Where you require citizens of America to purchase something, whether they like it or not. I'm saying that returns control and power to individuals and to the states. I'll give that one a thumbs up.
Yes, me too. If the government can force me to go into a marketplace and buy a particular product just because the government thinks it's a good idea for me to have that product, what can't the government force me to do? Obamacare and the individual mandate in particular goes completely against the founding purpose of our government. Okay, next, Dean. President Trump has said he would cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order issued by President Obama.
We have just gone over a whole list of unconstitutional and overreach of the executive branch. Absolutely. Another thumbs up. Let's cancel it and let's start with a clean page.
Yes, and let's hope that he has the fortitude to resist the temptations that I'm sure will present themselves to him to follow suit. And, you know, I want to pause for a moment here because I think it's really important for us as conservatives to be intellectually honest and to be consistent in our beliefs. We don't only oppose government overreach when the overreach is implementing a liberal policy that we happen to oppose. We oppose government overreach because it is wrong in and of itself, no matter what the specific policy is that's being implemented.
And Rita, even though we cast that as a negative, it's really a positive. We are trying to restore authority and liberty to the people and to the states as our founders intended.
Yes. Okay, let's move on. What about his proposal to require the elimination of 2 federal regulations for every new one that is proposed? What do you think about that?
Well, it sounds a little bit like he's trying to drain the swamp. I mean, we have talked about a bloated government, and this is one way we have got to start peeling it back. The number of regulations that inhibit our liberty, inhibit our freedom of business, or our conscience, those have to be peeled off.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
I think I'm remembering the statistic correctly, that the code of federal regulation, so that's the, you know, set of laws and rules that are cranked out by agencies, it's over 200 books. And they're not thin books. It's over 200 bound volumes of federal regulations.
Well, and that goes back to something that Mark Levin referred to as the stateocracy, bureaucracy that has become a government in itself. It's got to be scaled back.
Right. And Winston Churchill, there's a great quote that I can't recall verbatim, but it's something like, when you bury the people in regulations, you destroy all respect for the law.
Absolutely.
How could any American possibly hope to read, understand, and know that many regulations that purport to govern him. Okay, next. President Trump will have the job of beginning selection of a new Supreme Court justice to replace our much beloved Antonin Scalia.
Rita, that's one reason why I think many Trump supporters voted for him on November 8th. The Supreme Court has gotten out of control. They have left the constitutional interpretation to impose on us their own ideology.
Yes.
It is time to return to our constitutional roots. Give it a thumbs up.
I think the importance of having a new Supreme Court justice, and preferably all of the Supreme Court justices, be judges who are committed to the original meaning of the words of the Constitution, that just cannot be overstated. I don't want any more Supreme Court justices who believe in an organic constitution that they can recreate at their own whim any day of the week. That's not workable in our system.
Thumbs up. He's given us a list of 20 judges. I have some reservations about one or two of them.
Okay. Sounds like another program coming up.
Well, I think WND has already taken a position on this, and I support it. It's about William Pryor, but that's another issue.
Yeah. Well, this is extremely important, and we'll be following
yes.
it. Okay, next, immigration. He's talked about canceling all federal funding to sanctuary cities.
Hallelujah.
Think about that.
This is a federal law. Immigration is a federal law. States are supposed to comply with federal law. Sanctuary cities, the whole term says, I am not going to obey the law. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and they have to pay the consequences for violating what is federal law.
Yep.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Suspend immigration from terror-prone regions where vetting cannot safely occur. You know, that's a huge issue. And you hear people demonize Trump for the comments that he's made about that. What are your thoughts on it, Dean?
It's a self-answering question. If you don't know who is coming into your country, whether they are security risk or not, you close the door. And that's what we did in Jamaica and in embassies around the world. If you cannot prove that you are an asset to our American society and our culture, and if you cannot prove that you're going to return after a brief visit, you don't belong. The only reason for an exception is as a true refugee where you are persecuted for your religious or political beliefs.
Yes.
This is not the case.
I agree. And to me, this just seems like common sense. You vet people before you give
Absolutely.
Them an open door to your country.
Absolutely.
Because again, the purpose of government is to secure the life and liberty of the people. Okay. Let's talk about his hope of ending illegal immigration and constructing a wall on the southern border. Again, seems like common sense to me.
Well, it's interesting. He does say that, and we need that to have our country secure. Otherwise, we will have people coming into the country in violation of law, again, disrespecting our law. But beyond that, I think it's kind of curious. The President Obama is moving into a new house in Washington and building a wall.
I hadn't heard that. Uh-huh. That's great.
I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
We have got to control access to our country.
Again, it's common sense.
Yes.
and fits perfectly in the purpose of government. Okay, President Trump has talked about redirecting federal funds in order to give parents the ability to send their children to the schools of their choice. What do you think about that, Dean?
You know, it's interesting that people believe in choice when it comes to abortion, but they don't believe in choice when it comes to the parental authority to choose the right school for their child. Mm-hmm. This is, again, a no-brainer.
Yes.
The more choice we have in almost every area of life, but certainly education and life,
yes.
the better it is for our children.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
a thumbs up.
I find it curious, too. I'd love to do some research on this, but I always hear about teachers' unions opposing school choice, but I haven't talked to too many parents opposed to school choice. Have you, Dean?
Not one.
Okay. All right. And then the next one on my list is ending Common Core and giving control of schools back to local communities.
it goes to the one we just discussed.
Clear thumbs up.
We need to be able to control the schools in our communities. We don't need Washington to tell us how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what about canceling billions of dollars in payments to UN climate change programs and redirecting those funds to America's water and environmental infrastructure? That seems to make sense.
I served in the UN at one point when it was in better shape than it is now. The UN does not, I don't want to be extreme here, but there aren't many programs that we ought to be subsidizing in the United Nations. They have proven to be an enemy of our values and our principles and an enemy of Israel. And climate change still has its reservations, its problem in so many areas. Why are we funneling so much of our money toward an unproven program?
Agree. Well, Dean, this has been all about the purpose of government, but our program is about faith and culture and where they meet in this crossroads. How do you see it, especially as we look forward to the Trump presidency? What advice do you have for us?
Well, Rita, you know, this is, we've been talking a lot about politics, but I hope, even though it hasn't been explicitly stated, I hope that our listeners understand that we come to our appreciation of government through a biblical lens. We have a lot of history in the Bible about how we should govern ourselves, because if we don't govern ourselves, then we resort to bayonets to impose its will on us. We want to avoid that at all costs. I just want to give that as a backdrop. But we make a big fuss about Trump and how he might govern, and we do have concerns about his moral character, about his temperament, but I have hope in three different areas. Number one, he's formed a strong team of advisors, beginning with Vice President Pence, who has a strong Christian background, and that gives me hope. Number two, there's a very strong foundation in the Republican Party platform, which in most parts conforms to the purposes of government that you have just described. And finally, number three, and we've already talked about this, he has promised to appoint judges who will decide cases by what the Constitution intended when it was written, rather than by what some judges would like it to say. Those three reasons give me hope for the future, but I know it's going to be a rocky road.
Yeah, I would agree with all those comments you just made, and I would add to them that we always need to keep a clear focus that over and above every other hope that we have, our hope is in the God who holds the nations and their leaders and the citizens in the palm of his hands.
Amen. Rita, thank you so much for this program. This concludes what we have to say about a big question for the first 100 days. And as you can see, we're in for a rough ride in the weeks ahead. So stay tuned. Stay in prayer for our leaders and for our country. Now, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, go to our website at valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads on the homepage. Again, we want to thank our sponsors at Blue Ridge Chimney Services and Dunaway Dentistry, and also to so many of you for your prayers, your encouragement, and your financial support. If you would like to add to that and make a tax-deductible donation to help keep us alive, you can do so by check to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, 22803. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Dean Welty with Rita Dunaway and our great engineer, Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. And until then, have a great week putting your faith into action.
Rejoice, 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 rej